The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hi, everybody. Coming up, Nicole tells your fortune looking ahead. So get out your crystal and stay tuned with Mistress Nicole. All dressed in leather, you won't forget her. You want to love her and you won't let go. Who's that woman, crazy woman, Nicole?
I'm here. It is a Monday. It feels like a Monday, doesn't it? Welcome to it. It is the Monday between Christmas and New Year's, which, this is just a strange week. You know what I'm saying? This is a week when not a whole lot happens. Most people are taking the week off. This is, and people who worked last week are taking this week off, and people who took last week off are also taking this week off, but not here. No, we are here. Phone lines are open, 954-889-6410, or you can Skype in to Nicole Sandler, all one word. Because I joke, I say I'm a glutton for punishment. But I explained it to you the other day. I'm here. It's not like I'm going anywhere. I have a home studio. I work out of my house. I could have taken the week off. I could have put together some past shows, called them best ofs, and gone in the other room. And, you know, there's plenty of things that I put off doing that I need to do. Could have done those. Could have just been creative and painted some more. I have some stuff that I did over the weekend to share with you. But, I figured I'm here. I may as well work. A lot of people are alone on the holidays, over the holidays. This is actually one of the loneliest times of the year. And it's a really bad time for people who suffer from depression, which I do. Thankfully, I'm not in one of those spirals right now.
That's a good thing. But I've been there. I know what it's like. And I thought, I'm here, may as well be here. So here we are. And we do have a guest today. I'll tell you a bit about her in just a moment. It's somebody you know. She's been with us before. But the tonight, I'm also, because I am a glutton for punishment, not only doing my show, but I'm guest hosting the Bradcast today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. And usually when I fill in for Brad, what I do is repurpose old interviews that we've done here on this show. But today, this morning, I woke up, I'm doing what's news as usual, and I noticed that Marcy Wheeler tweeted something. Now, Marcy Wheeler is one of my favorite journalists, as you probably know if you listen to the show, because she's been on many, many times. These days, she's living in Ireland, yes, living in Ireland, and still doing the same work, and she, better than anyone else that I read regularly, is doing the best job in covering the prosecutions stemming from January 6th, both from the DOJ and the investigations that the select committee is doing into the insurrection and insurrectionists. I got to show you. So people are asking about my butterfly. Hold on. I will show you. Yes. And I'm sorry for everybody who's listening to an audio stream. Maybe you're listening on Progressive Voices or you're listening to the audio podcast. I will post the pictures that we talk about today on the blog at NicoleSandler.com/12-27-21 because that's today's date and this is today. So people are mentioning the butterfly. So I've been playing with... We'll get back to the content in the news and stuff, but because the chat room is all talking about my butterfly, here's the butterfly. So I've been playing with this new technique, this faux stained glass stuff that I've been doing. And I took a whole bunch of photographs over the weekend that I will be posting at some point soon to show you what I have. But so what I do is I make this, I call it vinyl, but it's not really vinyl. I make this material that is, transparent and colorful, and I make it with alcohol ink and clear glue. Remember when you were a kid and you'd take Elmer's glue and you'd put it on your hand and you'd let it dry and then you'd peel it off? Come on, of course you do. Well, I discovered this this technique whereby I use alcohol ink and clear glue, and I mix the colors in with the glue, and I spread it out on a sheet of glass, a big pane of glass, and I let it dry for a couple of days, and then I peel it off, and I've got a sheet of what I call vinyl, for lack of a better term, and you can cut it. And so then I draw a design. I've been doing it on plexiglass lately, and then outline the design with thick black paint of some sort, and then I fill it in with a cutout shapes. Well, now I did this on a black canvas, and I used my little cutout material. I cut it out and I pasted it onto white board. This was a pretty a tedious project. It took the better part of like a full day, like, so I'm talking like 12 hours. So I cut out the shapes. I did an extra, I did the sketch on the canvas and on a piece of like thick paper. So not quite board, but thicker than regular paper. And then I cut out the shapes from my vinyl that I create, and then I paste them onto the canvas. And then I even have a little extra of the vinyl hanging off the body of the butterfly. So that's my butterfly. You like it? I call it a flutterby because I think butterflies were incorrectly named. They should be called flutterbys, not butterflies. Nothing about butter here, but they do flutter by, don't they? So anyway, that's the flutterby, and it is available should anybody be interested. I haven't figured out what I would charge for this. Like I said, it was a lot of manpower. Anyway, so I'm just playing in my downtime. You know, I sit in the living room. I have an easel set up in the corner, and I have I've taken over the coffee table with a little sketching and drawing area, and I do it while we watch television, because I can't just do one thing at a time. So anyway, that's that. That's my latest creation, my flutterby. So I will post that because we're talking about it. So, yeah, maybe in a little while I'll send out a photograph of it. And so that's the flutterby. It's a, I believe it's a 12. It's probably a 11 by 14 canvas, I think, is what it's on. So it's on a black canvas and it's shiny and cool, right? All right. So that's that. Again, this is my pandemic silver lining is I learned that I have some artistic ability, and I never thought I did. Flutterbys. That's right. They're flutterbys. I think I may have to do like a guitar or something next. I don't know. In that style. So anyway, you like my puppy too. Yes, this is my, this is the dog. This is the Saint Bernard that I just did. This is actually, I didn't do this for anyone. This is a picture that I found on the internet, and I love it. So I've been looking at this thing for like a year, and I said, I want to try to paint that. So I did, and it actually wasn't that hard. So it's a Saint Bernard, should anybody want that. And Zenny, who said, I always wanted a stained glass window. My stained glass is not glass. I did some in glass, but I quickly got over that, and I'm using plexiglass now. So anyway, that's my artistic stuff. Let me tell you what. So I mentioned Marcy Wheeler is going to be with me on Brad's show tonight. I'm probably going to run that interview here on Wednesday because it was a good one. And they're all good ones, right? And a lot of information. And why not? I mean, that's why I did it. And but we'll see, unless something else happens between now Wednesday, we'll find out. Tomorrow's Tuesday. Gotta Laugh will be here. Laffy has put a blog post up at NicoleSandler.com. Actually, at Laffy'sPlace.com, which is at NicoleSandler.com. And explaining why she's moving to Canada. And she has another, like the second half of it going up tomorrow. But she'll be here. She will be here tomorrow anyway. And again, coming up later this hour is an old friend of the show. Those of you who've been around for a while remember, I hope, Juliana Forlano. Juliana, I met easily 10 or 12 years ago. I had known of her because she's funny, but we met in person at a Netroots Nation event, and like for years, each year at Netroots Nation, which was like summer camp for adults. And she, at the time, she was doing something called Absurd News, and then she did mornings on WBAI in New York, and she's jumped around a bit. But she's still, these days, she's at act.tv, and we'll talk about, you know, what she's doing, and we'll just riff on what happened this year. Right? Because we can. So that's the story. I'm sticking to it. Things are nuts. Can I tell you, you know, I don't know which is weirder, what's going on in, you know, DC or here in Florida. I have to share with you the Christmas Day editorial from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. The Sun Sentinel is basically the Broward County newspaper. And we don't get it because, frankly, it sucks. Miami Herald isn't much better. Used to be that they had Carl Hiaasen and Dave Barry, but they've both retired. So I don't know why we get the Herald instead of the Sun Sentinel. They both suck. But I did subscribe to the Sun Sentinel because they had a deal, 4 months for a dollar. And I did it so that I could share with you this editorial that the Sun Sentinel printed on Christmas Day. Okay. And it's called Florida's New Boogeyman. Yeah. So let me share this with you from the South Florida Sun Sentinel, which used to be owned by the Tribune Company. I have no idea who owns them now, if anyone. I don't know. Someone owns them, but I don't know who. All right. So here's what they wrote. Remember the boogeyman, that specter your parents invoked to make you behave? Almost every culture has one. So do politicians when they want to create fear. Governor Ron DeSantis has a boogeyman for the people of Florida. It's a real thing known as critical race theory, a discipline taught at some colleges, but not in Florida public schools. The governor wants, nonetheless, to ban it from schools and, for good measure, from the human resource policies and sensitivity training courses of privately owned businesses. That's not conservative. It's reactionary and authoritarian. Like parents who think their children's feelings have been hurt, workers could sue their employers for damages and attorney's fees if they have, quote, have experienced discrimination due to critical race theory inspired indoctrination, as the governor's press secretary puts it. This is me now, just interjecting for a moment. This is like the Texas abortion law on steroids, empowering racists and bigots. That's how dangerous this is. Okay, back to the Sun Sentinel editorial. Legislators usually describe such proposals as, quote, lawyer relief bills, which ought to be reason enough to deep six this one, too. But the wrongness of it goes much deeper. It perpetuates two persistent great lies: that racism did not have a major influence on American history, and that it is not now an issue. That is the current dogma of DeSantis' Republican Party and its determination to retain the allegiance of white voters who are terrified of losing. Hold on one second. I see Juliana's there. I need to let her in the Zoom room. Give me a second. My computer doesn't like to cooperate when I have too many programs running. All right. Okay, so continuing the Sun Sentinel. That is the current dogma of DeSantis' Republican Party and its determination to retain the allegiance of white voters who are terrified of losing social and political dominance to changing demographics. Demonization of critical race theory by making it into a boogeyman is one front in the Republican culture wars. DeSantis would make Floridians ignorant of the most troublesome aspects of our past, present, and future. He knows critical race theory isn't being taught in the schools, where in any case it's already banned by regulation, but he wants to convince parents that it could be, and to terrify teachers into glossing over or even ignoring the truths as to how racism has shaped American history and contemporary society. There's been nothing like the DeSantis bill in the 96 years since Tennessee outlawed the teaching of evolution. John Scopes, a high school teacher, volunteered to test the law in what became known, to the state's everlasting mortification, as the Monkey Trial. Tennessee failed to repeal science, of course, but it did stunt the intellectual growth of a generation of children. Fellow citizens, Abraham Lincoln told Congress in 1862, we cannot escape history, but DeSantis means to try. In the same vein, Virginia textbooks in the mid-20th century fed students a fiction of happy slaves who loved their kindly masters. One particularly deceitful illustration portrayed a well-dressed black family, father, mother, and children, being welcomed with a handshake aboard a slave ship. The truth was that blacks kidnapped from Africa were chained naked in the fetid holds of the slave ships, packed together like sardines, quote, without space to sit up or move around, without ventilation or sufficient water, according to a history posted by the National Park Service. An estimated 15% died on the way. On arrival, they could be worked harder and whipped worse than the white farmers' horses and cows. It was no offense to kill a slave unless he or she happened to be someone else's property, in which event the owner was entitled to compensation. Parents had no rights to their children because they were property to be sold, like calves or mules. Slave owners and their political allies rationalized their diabolical institution by propagating racist dogmas largely unheard of elsewhere. Blacks were inferior, fit only for slavery, and it was good for them. Even Thomas Jefferson and Robert E. Lee said so. That foundational excuse for slavery haunts America to this day. Although the Civil War ended slavery, it took another century to outlaw Jim Crow. But the effects persist, documented by the racial disparities in employment, income, and incarceration, in ghettos segregated by government housing policies, and by how Republican legislatures try to suppress black votes. The truths are evident almost everywhere that honest eyes look. State Senator Chevron Jones, Democrat of West Park, aptly denounced DeSantis's legislation as, quote, a dangerous attempt to whitewash and rewrite history for the sake of political expediency. The governor's mischaracterization of critical race theory is too hypocritical to be excused as just the way politicians talk. He says, quote, we won't allow Florida tax dollars to be spent teaching kids to hate our country or to hate each other. In truth, no one is teaching kids to hate our country or each other, but we do need to teach them not to hate each other, even unconsciously, and to recognize prejudices for what they are. That cannot be done by pretending they don't exist. Britannica.com has posted an excellent, detailed explanation of critical race theory. You can read it at Britannica.com/topic/critical-race-theory. In summary, it holds that the concept of racial differences isn't natural, but, quote, culturally invented. Racism in the United States, quote, is the ordinary experience of people of color. Often it takes the form of verbal or behavioral slights that may be subtle and even subconscious. White political interests often decide what reforms, such as school desegregation, will ensue. Minorities are frequently the subjects of negative stereotypes, in which blacks, especially black men, came to be viewed as natural-born criminals prone to violence or as lazy leeches living off social welfare programs paid for by hardworking whites. That was a quote. Critical race theory is complicated and subject to honest debate, but there is nothing honest about ambitious politicians like Ron DeSantis trying to suppress it or turn it into a boogeyman. That is the editorial that ran on Christmas Day in the South Florida Sun Sentinel, in one of the largest and, yes, bluest counties in the state. And DeSantis keeps doing his racist best to foment discord, to keep us from getting along, to keep children from learning the truth, and by learning the truth, learning not to hate one another. You know, this reminds me, I went back and I pulled, in case you were wondering, a lot of people didn't pay much attention to the man I call moron death sentence while he was running. Because, you know what, he was a nothing. He was a backbencher. He was, you know, he was, a one-term congressman from the Florida Panhandle who nobody paid any mind to until Donald Trump endorsed him. And that's the only reason why this idiot is governor. There was a Republican, a guy named Adam Putnam, who was the agriculture commissioner of Florida, who had come up through the Democrat, through the Republican Party, and he was groomed to be the next Republican nominee until Donald Trump stepped in. So this idiot DeSantis, who's really no idiot. I mean, the man, I believe, is Harvard educated, so he's got to have some semblance of a brain up there. Although what he does with it is sad, because, well, this is what he does with it. This was the ad. This was the ad that got the most notice. Moron death sentences TV ad when he was running to be governor of Florida based only on a Donald Trump endorsement. It went like this.
Everyone knows my husband, Ron DeSantis, is endorsed by President Trump, but he's also an amazing dad. Ron loves playing with the kids.
Build the wall.
Ugh. He reads stories.
Then Mr. Trump said, "You're fired." I love that part.
Ugh. He's teaching Madison to talk.
Make America great again.
People say Ron's all Trump, but he is so much more.
Big league. So good.
I just thought you should know.
Ron DeSantis for governor.
Yeah, that's who he is. That's all he is. So, Mr. Moron death sentence. And I wish I could say the Florida Democrats were in great shape to do away with moron death sentence, but they're not. We have three people running to replace him next year. One is former Republican Governor Charlie Crist, who is now a Democrat. Another is Charlie Crist's last running mate, the last time he ran for governor and lost to Rick Scott, of all people. And the other one is Nikki Fried, who's the current agriculture commissioner of Florida, who likes pot. I mean, that I like her because of that, but it's really not a platform to run on. So I think this is a perfect time to bring in our guest. She's an old friend of the show. You remember Giuliana Furlano, right?
Live from New York, it's Giuliana Furlano, star of Absurdity Today. What's that? Oh, not Absurdity Today? that is to say, Giuliana Furlano of WBAI. No, not that one either. Giuliana Furlano of, this one says Act TV.
Yeah!
Oh, forget it. Let's just say Nicole Sandler brings you Giuliana Furlano. Her name hasn't changed, has it?
No, but she's now a suburban mom. Hey.
I love that opening. Every time it gets me.
I know, I love it too. I still love it. That's a few years old already, but it still works.
Yeah, it still works. And I still am at Act TV, so that works.
You are.
He didn't have to add another one at the end of that.
No, that's good. But I added. So what I said in the little intro thing that I put out there, we first met, it's got to be over like a dozen years or so ago.
Yes.
Right? At a Netroots yes. Nation. And Netroots Nation. You were married, but you were childless. You were just the comedian chick who did Absurdity Today news, and you were funny and political. Lived in Brooklyn, and then now you're a Connecticut suburban mom with it.
Look what the fuck happened.
I know. She's not even a toddler anymore. She's now an actual child.
I know. She's an actual child, 5.5 years old.
Oh, my God.
Very cute. It's adorable Christmas thing. And Nicole, you sent me a onesie for her, which she busted out of very quickly.
But it took a while before, because I think I sent you like the 1 year old sign. One-year-old size when she was born. So it took a while before she fit into it. And then she lasted in it, 2 weeks?
Yeah, and then bam. She's a big lady now.
That's what happens. Well, mine is 22.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. So
I can't even see that far.
Nor could I. But you know what? You turn around and it's gone. Although I got to tell you, your mom at a time when I wouldn't want to be.
It's very, very difficult. Can I tell you last week, first we were getting a note once a month. Oh, someone in the school has gotten COVID and your child may have been in.
Okay. Right.
And then it was two a month. Then it was once a week. Then it was twice a week. Then it was twice a day. And then it was a couple times a day, plus a phone call if your kid was within 6 feet of a unmasked, whatever. So, and then there was that whole, Twitter school shooting thing.
Yes, the TikTok thing. Wasn't that like a TikTok thing where they were spreading these,
spreading rumors,
threats,
saying that, or spreading the idea that everyone should keep their kids home. And they were making threats that they were going to do school shootings. And a couple of schools right down the street from me actually closed because some of their threats were credible. And so I'm like making a peanut butter sandwich. I'm sorry. You can't make peanut butter. It's a sun butter made of sunflower seeds.
Because
horrible,
no peanuts.
My
because
daughter doesn't know the difference.
Right. Gotcha. Because you can't do peanuts because so many kids are allergic to peanuts.
Exactly. I'm making a sun butter sandwich thinking, what's a healthy snack? And should I send my kid into the pandemic? Maybe she's going to get it. And will she be shot today? I mean, how the hell? It's that over and over. And it kills you. Because as a mom, your biggest thing is to protect the kid.
Right. That's your job. Yeah. And now there's so many different threats and they are threats that you can't.
You can't. No.
So when these threats were coming out that there was a school shooter, you sent her to school?
I mean,
what are you going to do?
The school sent me a letter saying there was no credible threat and blah, 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 blah. She goes to a public school. I was wondering, are the private schools even dealing with this? Are they sending a letter? Are they concerned? Or is this another issue of class, class-based terror that the private schools don't have to deal with?
I think the kids who go to private school are just as fucked up as the kids who go to public school. In many cases, probably even more so.
Well, that makes me feel better, kind of, Nicole, but not really.
Right. I understand. Well, you're in Connecticut. Can I ask how far you are from Newtown?
Very close. In fact,
so that's scary.
The anniversary just came up, but it's
December 13th.
So it's my daughter is the exact same age as the children who were killed there. It's I give money. You know what I mean? I try to have the people on the show. I do what I can in order to keep this idea of keeping guns out of the hands of the insane. And it seems like the insane population is on the rise and they're the ones with the guns. So
can I freak you out a little bit more? So we live in Coral Springs, Florida. We are
the sisters.
Yes, well, that alone is. You saw the Ron DeSantis. I was watching your face as that ad played. Was real. And he got elected running that ad.
Unbelievable.
Go figure. So anyway, my daughter was never a good student. She hated. She's bright. She's a smart kid. Just not a student. She'd cut
school
class.
Very boring.
She's
for the
one of those
kids.
Yep. And so she couldn't wait to be done. And she goofed off her last year, her senior year. She just totally goofed off. And so she had a lot of catching up to do. And the best way for her to do it was to disenroll from regular school and enroll in this off-campus learning thing that usually it's the troubled kids who go to that, but it's an individual thing. You do exactly what you need to do on the computer. You turn it in, you're good. And she had three classes she needed to finish and that's it. So she enrolls in that and we're good. She goes there. So it's at this one school, there's I think two or three schools that they send all the kids in the county to, you know, based on where you live. And so for our area, she went to this other school in Coral Springs called Terra Vella. It's a separate thing just for this remote, I forget what they called it, but off-campus learning it was called, something like that. So she's in there. She's telling me the other kids are kind of creepy. Well, then the shooting happens in Parkland, which is right down the street, right?
Wow.
And when it's made public who the shooter was, that guy Nicholas Cruz, she said, no. Mom, he was in my off-campus learning center class.
Wow.
He sat like right next to me.
Wow.
So that's you want to talk about having a heart attack. Luckily, Allison is a good kid and she was nice to him. But oh my God, she's like, he freaked me out then. His eyes were always weird. He was creepy and she interacted very little with the other kids in there. She was only in there for a couple of months. Yes. But oh my God, talk about almost That's killing terrifying. Me. That's terrifying. Yes,
exactly.
And all I could think was, I'm so glad she's out of school and I don't mm-hmm. have to deal with this. And I didn't have to deal with COVID and I don't know how you do it. I would be a nervous wreck every day.
That's how. Who was that politician you said wanted to legalize marijuana? That's
oh,
how you
Nikki Freed. So yeah. She's running for governor. And she, I mean, her, when I interviewed her, her first thing was, well, you know, legalize pot. Okay. You know, I'm good with that. But I don't think that's the winning message to get you in down here. It's a weird place, this Florida.
Yeah.
So we don't have like a slam dunk candidate. Mm. We have three okay candidates. Mm-hmm. But Ron DeSantis, who should be probably, you know, going to jail for some reason. Instead, he's got something like over $3 million in the bank. And between the three of them, the three Democrats, I don't think have raised $300,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
We need to call in the national help on this because Florida is literally dragging the entire nation down the toilet in a number of ways. I mean, DeSantis, I mean, he's rerunning for governor, but don't you think he's going
to
make a presidential?
He wants to run for president, right. Now, he won't say anything as long as Trump, because you see how Trump is his. But I think he's going to run for president. But he is up for re-election in 2022. So regardless, he'll run for re-election and he'll say, screw you, Florida. I'm going to go run for governor, for president.
But it'll all be great for him because he'll be in the public eye for, you know, months and months and years in Florida. And even though he's in the public eye, people still somehow like him. I don't understand that.
I don't get it. It is, well, I talk about opposite world all the time. This is a prime example. So, you know, here's a good example. Did you hear about the So on Christmas Day, Joe and Jill Biden do this NORAD tracker thing. I guess it's a thing. Have you ever done that where you can call the NORAD tracker and find out where Santa is?
I forgot.
Okay.
Yes.
So Joe and Jill Biden, it's not like the Trumps ever did this, but Joe and Jill Biden are doing Christmassy things like that on Christmas. So they go.
Trumps were busy putting up those bloody Christmas trees <That's right. laughs> on Christmas
The
Eve.
Blood room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. So
the Bidens go do this. They're taking calls from parents with their children, you know, wondering where Santa was in his travels. And so this guy calls in from Oregon and he goes through the whole thing, talk about his kid. And then here's how the call ended.
Wonderful Christmas. Well,
I hope you guys have a wonderful Christmas as well.
Merry
Christmas and let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon. I agree.
I was going to do that.
He said, let's go, Brandon. And Joe Biden said, let's go, Brandon. I agree. And I looked at their faces to see if they knew. And honestly, I can't tell. I don't know if they're oblivious to the fact that the Republicans they stumbled upon this thing. Now, you know what? If it were our side and the same thing happened, we'd be embracing it. It is clever. It is. They were at a NASCAR thing, and NASCAR is typically Republican. And there was a driver named Brandon, I guess. And all of a sudden, the crowd starts chanting, "Fuck Joe Biden."
Right.
But the announcer in the booth, I guess, wanted to take attention away from. He said, "Oh, listen to them. They're saying, 'Let's go, Brandon.'" when they were saying, fuck Joe Biden. So Let's Go Brandon has become a rallying cry for the political right of this country. And they say it instead of saying, fuck Joe Biden. So idiot calls and, you know, as he wished, the Bidens wished him Merry Christmas. He's like, a Merry Christmas to you. And Let's Go Brandon. Now,
it's disgusting.
What? The driver was being interviewed on TV. Hold on. Come. What driver?
The NASCAR driver was being interviewed on TV. And in the background,
they were saying, fuck Joe Biden. Gotcha.
And there's no way Biden doesn't know what it means. He's just too much of a, hate to throw a technical term in, mensch.
Right.
To, you know, you think somebody who's buried a child and a wife is going to be upset because some asshole
says, fuck you,
fuck Joe Biden.
Right.
He's been through enough in his life that this rolled off him.
Right.
Like
so he wasn't going to give him the satisfaction of letting it ruffle his feathers. Like, let's go, Brandon, to you too.
The thing that gets me the most about this story and how it's been unfolding, this Let's Go Brandon thing, is the fact that they are chanting it in church, in evangelical churches.
Everywhere, right.
Evangelicals. I mean, you can say, okay, I can see on the side of a barn or maybe at a sports thing, but to bring that inside, led from the pulpit to say,
Let's go Brandon. When you realize they're saying, fuck the president, it's one thing to do it in this kind of a setting, because I've said, fuck Donald Trump many, many times. But I wouldn't call in to a thing that's meant for children, first of all, to say that, right? That's just fucked up. And as you say, coming from church?
Yeah. Yeah, we did some coverage on the show of how they, you know, the evangelicals are out there just spreading it from the pulpit to these giant mega churches, getting the people all hyped up. And it's like a fuck Joe Biden for God kind of thing. They're fomenting holy rolling, you know, holy wars. And it's insane. It's absolutely insane. I'm sure Jesus would say, go Brandon. You know what I mean?
Let's go Brandon to you too.
The unbelievable part to me is that these people don't have, isn't there anyone in that crowd being like, I don't think this is what Jesus would do.
Right.
Like,
no, the evangelicals, that's, you know, they're the ones you would think who should know better, but it's not. It's the normal people who believe in God, who go to church, who are Christians, or, you know, they're the ones I think are horrified by it. It's the evangelicals who have always been over the top and nut jobs. I should get Frank Schaefer back on the show just to get his take on Frank Schaefer. His father was Francis Schaefer, who was like the Pope of the evangelical movement.
Yeah, let's see what he has to say. Yeah. Is he like a Ronald Reagan of Republicans?
Ron Reagan. Yeah, he's come around and he dismisses the teachings of his father. By the way, did you hear then? So I played for you that, right? Did you hear what Stephen Miller said about Joe Biden's reaction, his response to the Let's Go Brand? Okay, so this is Stephen Miller on TV, I guess on Fox or one of those kind of channels, I think this morning.
How do you read that? Here's my theory.
This is Stephen Miller.
Being completely forthright when I say this.
Sure you are.
I believe that Joe Biden is controlled by his staff and his aides, and not just senior staff. I think mid-level aides in the White House. Oh. You know, the recent incident that people made a great deal of fun about, as well they should have, where Joe Biden said, let's go Brandon, during Christmas, to me reveals something much more insidious, which is that he doesn't know about the Let's Go Brandon meme because he doesn't consume any of his own information. He is completely sheltered and controlled by his staff. So unlike President Trump, who, as you know, Larry, he'd bring us into the Oval and say, I read this report,
sure
I saw this. I want a reaction, I want analysis. It's completely the opposite with Biden. He's totally shaped and controlled by staff and has no inputs but what they give him. And so they see him, his own staff sees him, as a vessel to implement these AOC-style, soft-on-crime, no-borders, massive taxation, massive welfare, no American energy policies. He's their vessel, and we're all suffering as a result.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the insanity level is like my insanity-o-meter is going off. Yeah. Okay. So our president doesn't spend hours, you know, trolling Twitter.
I know. Basically, thank God.
And that's a bad thing, I guess.
He doesn't go on the. Oh no, it's Donald Trump who doesn't go on the internet. So that the flip side to that was Candace Owens, who is also batshit crazy, going ballistic on Donald Trump because he's now touting the vaccines.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about this. This is exciting. Let me hear it.
This is mostly, I think it's mostly Trump, you know, and Candace Owens is in disbelief.
Oh, yeah. They're all really mad at him.
Does it want to play? It doesn't want to play. Come on.
Pizza or salad.
Oh, shit. I didn't cue in past the commercial here.
Big pharma, which is a huge topic on the minds of mothers, especially. You're seeing what's happening at these school board meetings. Where do you stand on these vaccine mandates? And obviously, I know that you are pro-vaccine. Obviously, you did everything you could to get this vaccine out. I know where you stand on the vaccine.
It was one of the greatest achievements. We did it in less than...
I should mention how ridiculous it is that Candace Owens is interviewing a former president. But let's just leave that there for a moment and listen to him. What's gotten into this guy?
Less than 9 months.
To be able to do that. But now it's taken a twist, right? It's gotten, now we went from this is a good thing and people should have this option to military men, you're going to have to resign because you're not getting this vaccine. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I stand on, forget about the mandates that people have to have their freedom. But at the same time, the vaccine is one of the greatest achievements of mankind. We would have had a
1918
people. Actually, it ended the First World War because the soldiers were so. A lot of people don't know that. The soldiers got so sick. It was a terrible thing. There were no vaccines. There were no anything.
I came up
with a vaccine.
Didn't come up with anything.
All are very, very good. Came up with three of less than 9 months. It was supposed to take 5 to 12 years.
If you had, I wouldn't have gotten
people died
it.
Under COVID this year, by the way, under Joe Biden. Right.
Okay, so it goes on like this. Trump really, I don't want to just keep playing his voice because you get the idea. Please. He's touting the vaccine, saying this is a good thing. Well, Alex Jones went ballistic. Listen to this.
Is an emergency Christmas Day warning to President Trump. You are either completely ignorant about the so-called vaccine gene therapy that you helped ram through with Operation Warp Speed, or you're one of the most evil men who has ever lived. Toxic poison on the public,
but not for that
and
reason.
To attack your constituents when they simply try to save their lives and the lives of others. We're about to lay out the basic incontrovertible facts that what you told Candace Owens just a few days ago is nothing but a raft of dirty lies.
I agree. I've never agreed more. It's a raft of dirty lies.
Well, everything he said has been a raft of dirty lies, except for this. For once, he's trying to, I guess.
I question exactly. He probably just wants, you know, credit for something. But I just question what this is all about. The man is always playing the media. He's always got a twist. He's always, and he, you know, he or his people, he is very good at this.
Oh yeah.
So it's highly unfortunate, but I'm looking behind the curtain, Nicole, to see like, what's the end game here?
I have no idea. I've stopped trying to figure him out 4 years ago.
I mean, he's so shockingly, you know, unhinged that now he's even losing the Alex Jones crowd.
Who are
his voters going to be? And what if these January 6th people just become like unloosed from Trump? Like, where are they going to go? Are they going to rally behind DeSantis? Are they going to, where's the mob going to go?
I don't know. Ted Cruz thinks it's going to be him. Have you heard that?
Yeah, well, I just assumed.
Listen, check this out. This is Ted Cruz.
Election coming up in 2024. So aside from the midterms, what are your thoughts on the field of potential candidates going into 2024? And would you ever consider another run for president?
Absolutely.
In
a heartbeat. I ran in 2016. It was the most fun I've ever had in my life. We had a very crowded field. We had 17
Donald
candidates.
Trump said my wife was ugly.
I was just going to say.
And I ended up placing second. And, you know, there's a reason historically that the runner-up is almost always the next nominee. And that's been true going back to Nixon or Reagan or McCain or Romney. That has played out repeatedly. You come in with just enormous base of support. You know, in 2016, raised over $92 million. That was the most money any Republican
Ian
ever
Carly.
Raised in the history of
President.
That's the end of
it. Stop.
I did make it stop. There, it's done.
Nicole, what happened to like being a public servant? The guy is in there talking about me. I'm the next coming of Jesus. You know, I am the one who got the second most votes. I had a good time. Well, what the fuck? What about what you're supposed to be doing there? Yes, I think I'm the person who can stop these vaccine mandates, whatever these right wingers want to do. I'm the person who can bring Jesus and the popcorn. You know, I'm the one who can get everybody over to Jerusalem so the end can hear.
That's right.
I'm the one, whatever they're looking
to do. We're going to build the wall.
Yeah, I can build the wall.
I alone can do. So they're all doing Donald Trump's playbook without realizing that he's nurtured that persona for 7 decades.
Yeah. I mean, I think Ted Cruz and some of these guys, that is their persona that they've just been covering up with a bullshit of, wanting to help the people. So it is kind of good to see them come out as who they really are. But I do think like with shows like yours, just constantly pointing out the fact that that's not what a public servant is. Because, I mean, people who are younger than us, Nicole, they've never had this idea of like, public service is to serve the public. So it's there's no even rhetoric on the right about serving the public need anymore.
Isn't that sad? It's terrible. Yeah, everything is different. Civics, we had a civics class in 8th grade and I still remember it because it made an impact on me. None of that seems to be relevant anymore. Mm-hmm. Like the system of checks and balances. This is what's really frightening. Is we're seeing it play out so that Congress's oversight, which is a big part of their responsibility, they make laws and they oversee the executive branch, that whole part of it is about to go away just because Donald Trump is saying, don't comply with subpoenas, don't give them anything. You know, we're just going to stonewall them because that's how he's always operated. He's never operated within the norms of whether it's a business, society, a community or a government.
Right. No honesty, no integrity, for the good of the people, nothing. No. I mean, the guy is like a child rapist. Can you say that? I think so.
Yeah.
He's alleged,
but there is evidence there that hasn't been prosecuted. I want some of this shit to be prosecuted already.
I know. I don't know how we're going to get there from here.
I don't know either.
I do think we're helping.
I hope so. So Juliana Forlano, tell us about what you're doing at act.tv now. What you do a show at a regular time of day? Tell us.
We've got Tuesdays and Thursdays at 2 p.m. You can find it on act.tv's web empire. We're on Facebook and we're on YouTube at live at those times. But we also got picked up by Apple TV and we're on Roku now. So just look for act.tv stuff. We also also on act.tv's downline is the Ben Dixon Show. We've got Nurse Talk. We've got a couple of other shows in addition to my show, which is really the most important one.
Okay. So you picked up Benjamin Dixon. You picked up Nurse Talk. You know, there's another show I could think of that would be great on ACT-TV.
Yeah, I would love that show. That would be an excellent show for
I will have
taste.
To work with.
I am only a host, but I'm a lowly host of show.
You know, Bob Furtick is the guy there, isn't
Bob
he?
Bob is the guy. Yeah.
You know, it was, I want to say, it's got to be a dozen years ago already. I used to be the guest host. I used to fill in for Randy Rhodes when she was on Premier Radio Networks. And one year, they got a call at the last minute. Can you fill in tomorrow? And I'm like, and it was March 16th. I don't remember what year, but I was going to New York the next day. I'm like, I'm flying into New York tomorrow morning. They're like, what time do you land? And I said, I think my plane lands at like noon. Great. Just go to Rockefeller Center. We have the premier studios right above Radio City Music Hall. We'll have a studio there for you. You can do the show from there. I'm like, yeah.
So I did, and Bob Furtick came in and was my guest that day. So
that is awesome. I know he has done so much good work for the left, and, and especially in when it comes to women's reproductive rights and all this other stuff. You know, he's really a champion. So
yeah, he's been at it for a long time.
Highly involved in this. I don't know if I was supposed to out that or not, but hey,
his name is on the website. I'm looking at the website.
Oh,
his name is there.
Great.
Yeah. So
all
right.
That's what my show is on. We cover kind of, you know, similar stuff, but we cover a lot. We have folks in DC, folks in New York who will go and be at these live events. We were at Cori Bush's sit-in on the Capitol steps. We were able to interview her and some of the other people there. And I am sort of the home of where those interviews go after someone does them live in the field. Cool. I used to do some of the field stuff myself, but now that I have moved into another phase of my life, I, you know, I'm at the desk. I'm the desk person.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Well, so you might need a Florida correspondent.
I will keep that in mind. Definitely will need a Florida correspondent.
Hello. All right. We'll talk. So what else? How's life in the suburbs? You were a city girl.
Really interesting. I was a Brooklyn girl, so I really wasn't used to living in MAGA land. And right now, you know, Northwestern Connecticut, which is where I live in Litchfield County, is a really odd place. Very, very wealthy people have one of their many homes here. marginally wealthy people have second homes here. People in New York all fled up here during the pandemic, and now they've trickled back into their whatever places in New York. Who knows if they're coming back or not? It's yet to be seen. And then there are a lot of MAGA folks. A lot of whites who were deserted by deindustrialization in this area. We used to have the largest ball bearing factory in the world here, along with other, just there was a lot of making stuff and manufacturing. And when those jobs went away, people were really in hard times. These are working people, and they, you know, over the years turned MAGA for all the reasons people do. And now it's actually terrifying. Because it's like you wear a mask at the grocery store and you're kind of weirdly in danger. And, you know, there's just a lot of there. You can. It's I have not lived in a mixed area like this in a really long time. So here we are.
You know? Are you meeting like-minded people? You know, are you meeting progressives?
Of course, I went and got involved in the Democratic Town Council, and I, you know, that's how you meet like-minded people. And all, but I mean, really, I still work for ACTV. I'm still kind of hanging out with all the same, just virtually, with all the same people I did when I was in Brooklyn, with you, you know, we're all sort of here in this virtual space.
Of course,
together.
It's not like we're seeing people in person.
No, exactly. So, you know, we had to leave. We were living in a one-room Brooklyn. One-room place. We were going to try to get a different place anyway, because it was myself, my daughter, my husband. And then when the pandemic hit, it was like trying to work, trying to keep two jobs going and a live show while you have a toddler in a one bedroom. And we were right near the hospital. A lot of ambulances, very traumatic. And we were also right near the Black Lives Matter protest that, you know, happened over the summer.
Sure.
And, there was a lot of broken stuff, fires and helicopters. And it was really disturbing. And I don't necessarily think it was the protesters that were fomenting that violence. And that kind of, I don't know how to call it other than just like that kind of darkness, that kind of control and mechanized terror is a little hard to live near and bring up a kid. Like I'm trying to put her to bed and reading like, you know, Good Night Moon. Good Night Moon. Like here goes the airplanes. And
good night,
fine.
Kitty. Good night.
What's that noise? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Woo. You know, so it was.
There's the helicopters again. There's the searchlight. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you.
I don't know where life is going to take us. You know, I'm not sure, but I am really enjoying being kind of close to nature as nature is still here for right now as it is.
and is she meeting friends? I mean, do you have like friends whose parents you can hang with?
Thank God she has good taste in kids because she made two nice little friends and we made two sets of parents that we really like. that we are interacting with. And that's nice. But, you know, it was hard because we moved up here during the pandemic and no one was hanging out with anyone they didn't already know.
Right.
So there was a lot of kind of isolation feeling, which I'm sure everyone can relate to in their own ways. There's been isolation. Just breaking isolation has been so difficult. I hear you.
What have you done during the pandemic to keep occupied? I mean, there have been some pandemic silver linings. For example, I discovered painting.
I never picked up a paintbrush before
October, last October. Now it's been over a year. That's my latest doggy. And then I started doing this new technique. So this is my Flutterby. That's the Flutterby.
Oh,
you
I
like
love
that?
It.
Isn't that
I
cool?
Love it.
Thank you. That's a multimedia kind of thing. It's a technique that I devised.
You did? I love it.
You like it? Yeah, I'd like it too. It's got even a tail.
I'd like two more panels of it so I can hang them like this. You know what I mean?
Could do. I could make
that
it like
cool.
Continue down here and over here so the other wing continues.
Mm. That would be so cool.
So I'm just
so wonderful, Nicole. I have been following that on Facebook. I mean, your pictures of animals and things like that are just really great. Isn't it wonderful to discover new talent? Like,
it's amazing because I thought it was all downhill from here. So, you know, who thought at 60 I would discover a new talent? Not me.
Age is just capitalist structure trying to convince you that you're, you know, not necessary once you exit the, the work field where they can exploit you. So that's pretty much it. They're like, just you get depressed and die. We're going to tell you you're not worth anything and that life is over. You know,
I gotta tell you though, this is what's weird about doing things from our home is that somebody in the chat room, I'm gonna give their name if I can find it again. Colonello Valerio said,
Colonello said,
Juliana's got a copy of Howard Zinn's A People History of the U.S. behind her. I didn't even see. I see Feel the Burn. I see Knock Knock Something the Mailman, but I don't see Howard Zinn.
I'm the person who made Feel the Burn up. Did you know that?
No.
Yes.
How? Tell me.
Because I was doing my radio show, Juliana Furlano Show. Remember?
Yes.
You were a guest.
I remember. I was in mid-heart attack.
That's right. I thought I had killed you on that show. And I made up a segment called Feel the Burn, like an opening segment where we were following Bernie. And this one, he was just on the scene. Nobody was talking about him except people like us, indie people. And really, he was just sort of starting to come up. And I was trying to push that. And I made a segment called Feel the Burn. I made an interesting opening and I had Charles Lenchner on, who is he's a mystery person who does things.
I had him on a couple of weeks ago to talk about, you know, the inside outside strategy. So I had Mike Lux on talking about the inside strategy, and then I had Charles Lenchner, whose name I can never pronounce, on to talk about the outside strategy. He is an organizer.
Did you have him on at
the same time? No. It's like on consecutive days.
That was a terrible idea. Yeah. No, that's a great idea, Nicole.
Thank you.
I steal your idea.
I'm a producer.
I'm just going to watch your show and then take your ideas.
Please do.
Thank you, Nicole. And anyway, I had him on and he is very connected to the indie world and he brought it out in the world and along with Winnie Wong made a hashtag and it took fire.
Check you out.
I know. So I keep it there because no one gives me credit but me.
So let me ask you, have you done now I will Feel the Burn? That was fucking brilliant. And I see you got the bumper sticker on there. Over the pandemic, you know, most of us are just spending a lot of time in front of the television. In the last couple of days, we've watched two highly touted new movies.
I watched them too.
Did you? And what did you think? Are we talking about the same ones? One is Don't Look Up.
Don't Look Up. That's the one I watched.
The other is Being the Ricardos.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet. Thank you, actually. I was looking for something.
Well,
I want to hear
your thoughts on it because I hated it.
Really?
I wanted to love it, but I hated it. I hated it because Nicole Kidman is in no universe Lucille Ball. I couldn't ever grok her in that role. It never made sense. I'm seeing like a lot of people on Facebook, most notably, talking about how much they loved it. It was the greatest thing ever. I'm like, what did I watch? I want 2 hours of my life back. Then there's Don't Look Up. Which
that movie was amazing.
I really liked it. David hated it. David didn't like. Oh, I should. Okay, I got to show. Here's how I feel the burn. So I did these Bernie pictures. Now Howie Klein, who's on with me every Thursday, and nobody tell him this because this is a surprise. So Howie said, "I love the Bernie," and I said, "All right, I'll paint you one." So I just painted this, but you notice I put a sign in his hand, and the sign is going to say, "It's not done yet," but it's going to say, "Down with tyranny." Because that's his website.
That's amazing.
Right? Isn't that great?
So
Bernie signed this. So I just painted this over the weekend.
I can move this cat, Nicole. If you want to make some Toronto?
Maybe I can. But so I'm gonna. The sign is gonna read "Down with Tyranny," and then this will go out to Howie. So nobody tell
that
him.
We won't tell him. But I think he might know now because
it's
out there.
Yeah, he doesn't
watch. Oh. I loved the movie. It was probably a poor choice to watch it on Christmas Day because Christmas Day was slightly depressing anyway. Yeah. It was joyful and also depressing.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was a parable. It was an allegory. It was it was supposed to be over the top in the same way.
I thought it was exactly what the fuck is happening. I was like, oh, finally, they're pinpointing exactly what's happening. And honestly, climate change to me is even worse and scarier than a big giant asteroid coming because it's the kind of thing that's going to destroy Florida first and we'll all still be alive. And then
although
fires,
it's hitting everywhere. Not necessarily Florida first.
But
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Well, I guess that's the millions of little pieces of the asteroid. Now, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but when they break it up, that's rather than letting it hit in one big thing. David didn't like it. He thought it was too much. I thought it was really well done in terms of, you know, I'm not saying it was on the level of Dr. Strangelove, but I think that was what they were going for. David's back.
A female president sending a picture of her cooch to a former porn star sheriff that she nominated to the Supreme Court. That's what's exactly going on now.
Well,
have you seen the Trump administration? I mean, the guy is telling people to grab pussies and then he put on a person who is not qualified to be on the Supreme Court, whether she was a porn star or not.
Yes.
And then another like alleged rapist or whatever,
yes.
You know, so it's not exactly on the nose, but it's close. You know?
Not exactly on the nose. And I'm not exactly Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, no, you're not. I can attest to that. So he didn't like it. He thought it, but he doesn't like anything. He's a curmudgeon. You know,
I'm just saying.
Curmudgeon.
I thought it was like it was just a it was funny.
I thought it was very good too. And David Sirota got credit for co-writing the story, not the script. Yes. And right. I think as a producer, so I may need to get David Sirota back on the show to talk about that. Yeah, but I think it was good at the very least. It's getting people talking because I did go on Facebook this morning and it's like, that's all that I saw. Post after post after post.
I just hope it's not about the nuts being like, oh, the asteroid, it's really coming and everything they put on TV and then comes true. You know, I just hope
that's coming next. Of course.
Can they just please get the idea that maybe we should do something about climate change until it's
all
over?
Well, you know, it's in the Build Back Better bill. Hello, Joe Manchin. Pass it. $500 billion. The biggest investment, the only investment so far into mitigating climate change, and Joe Manchin stops it.
My favorite part of the movie, not to take us away from Joe Manchin, but if I have to say that guy's name one more time, I might vomit. I've had it with this guy. I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, your favorite part of the movie?
Oh, yeah. What was it? Oh, my favorite part of the movie was... I can't remember now. Let's move on. It'll come back to me. I just had a brain freeze.
I know. I hate when that happens to me all the time. You're in mid-sentence and all of a sudden it just poof. It goes away. It's
I went off into my limbic brain getting pissed off at Joe Manchin.
Right.
And I forgot my rational thought.
Trying to think what I thought was my favorite part. I don't know.
Oh, I remember. My favorite part of the movie is like, because we're media people, right? I've been on these shows where they're like, and it's a duck, right? And you're like, actually, this guy is voting to take away your grandmother's right to have health care. And they're like, coming up next, pot pies. You know, I'm like, you know, I've been there. And I just thought that was so just the way they did it really pointed it out, because most people are just, they're just swimming in that and they mm-hmm. don't realize what they're swimming in.
No, and it's all so phony. It's all just so, we're cheery. It's morning television. Everything's fine. And yes, and coming up next, what to do with the piece of comet that you find and you can make it into jewelry. Ah, well, Juliana, we're late. I mean, we've already run over, but it's fine with me.
We're having so much fun.
I know, we're in overtime now. I do this from time to time. So the Progressive Voices Network, they left us about 4 minutes ago. But we were good.
That was, they missed the best part.
Can I leave you with a song? I've got songs. You know, this is the other thing. Through the pandemic, I found a lot of very talented people who were also bored, who got creative on the interweb. So there's this guy. I'll just do this real quick. There's a guy, this is so funny, who I discovered this year, who does these songs. They're not song parodies. They're all original songs. And he does like one or two each day. And when I first saw him, I happened upon him on the YouTubes. And I swore it was Jeff Daniels doing a character, because Jeff Daniels can. He's a singer. You know, he plays guitar. He's a musician. He does this. And this guy not only looks like Jeff Daniels, he has the same like timbre to his voice and even a slight sibilant S. I mean, it was just so, so I played one of his songs. I'm like, he says his name is Bruce. Now I'm drawing a blank on his name. Bruce, that I'll get in a moment. But, and he goes by Mangy Fetlocks as his character name. Bruce W. Morgan, what's his name? Damn it. And I said, so this guy, it's Jeff Daniels. Well, he emailed me. It's like, I am most certainly not Jeff Daniels, but he does these songs. So here's one that came out a couple of days ago, and I'm not even going to, you'll just see. This is Bruce Mangy Fetlocks and his plea to Merrick Garland. Here we go.
Howdy, folks. Mangy Fetlocks here with a little song for Merrick Garland. With Christmas now over, you'll not be surprised to hear my thoughts are highly focused ahead to the coming year. The fate of the markets is not what is on my mind. My hope for success is more judicially inclined. Merrick Garland, I'm begging you to do what good attorneys general do. File charges against Jim Jordan, or at least move his case toward a nice indictment. If not, I will be blue. Merrick Garland, you'd surely be a real hero to good people like me. If you can lock away the former president, I'd feel warmer thoughts about a general attorney. While you're at it, maybe slap cuffs on Scott Perry. What the heck? You could get Mo Brooks as well.
Yeah.
Though the thought of him is really pretty scary. Ted Cruz could be locked up for a spell.
Oh, yeah.
Merrick Garland, you've got a chance to save democracy, so thanks in advance. From what will be a grateful nation crediting you with salvation if you'll just kick Donald Trump in the pants. Don't forget about Miss Marjorie or Lauren. It'd be nice if they could share a prison cell.
Oh, yeah.
Any chance it might be somewhere really foreign where they toss prisoners into a well? Merrick Garland, just let us know if you need help, because we're willing to go and give you aid or cash donations to speed up deliberations, because we're worried things are moving too slow.
Merrick Garland.
Come on, Merrick. Let's get going.
Merrick Garland.
Don't hang us all out here like we're kind of excited to get some action, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know.
I mean, it's nice to be deliberative, but it's getting a little ridiculous. Hey, thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bruce W. Nelson is his name, also known as Mangy Fetlocks.
I do want to point out, he reminded me that both Marjorie or Lauren Boebert could both be that president who takes a picture of her cooch and sends it to some porno star.
Without a doubt. That's who I think Meryl Streep was playing. It was a composite of the two.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
And he did stay through the credits because there's a scene at the very end. You saw that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure, because some people missed it. And, you know, that's the payoff.
That's the payoff.
Yeah. Juliana Forlano. Check her out. She's on the Twitters at Juliana Forlano, two N's.
Find me on the Twitters,
by the way.
Yes.
And act.tv. And find them on the Roku, the Apple, the YouTubes.
Yeah.
And the Facebooks.
Yeah.
Juliana, it's so good to see you. I've
so
missed
good
you.
To see you, too. This is a great way to spend. You know, I'm not even working this week, but when
nobody
you
is.
Said, come on, I said, yeah.
Right,
yeah,
and nobody you. Is, which is the reason that I am. Because all the other shows are running best ofs. And here's the thing. If I wasn't here, I'd be in the other room.
Right.
Right? So why not just
really
be here?
I'm grateful. I'm so grateful that you're doing it because, honestly, you need to know things are going on still. You need to know. And it's a great time to sort of consolidate the information that we've had and see kind of where we're going to go and you know, not just take a best of. I know people need vacations and breaks.
And one of these days, I hope to be able to take a vacation again. But for me, a vacation means going somewhere, not the other room. And if I'm in the other room, I may as well be in here working, right?
Exactly.
David's back. My husband, he's got his own microphone because he chimes in. That's the problem with working in the house. But yes?
Two things. Number one,
yes,
I am not a curmudgeon. Number two,
did you hear what
Juliana,
I said about Marjorie?
Have you seen the South Park COVID special?
Oh, have you seen the South Park COVID? Oh, you
that's
must.
A good, another good
okay.
thing.
Okay. It's you, okay. But, and I'm not a South Park fan because it's usually a little too much for
and
me.
And that's a problem.
Yeah.
And
yeah, me
that's
too.
A problem. But this is really fun. It's the post COVID thing. And you know, the kids in South Park, they're like 10 years old. They're perpetually in third grade.
Right.
They're adults. And the pandemic has just ended.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
You gotta watch. It's perfect.
Okay, I mean,
it's so
good.
So it's on Paramount Plus. That's
oh,
the only.
Who gets that?
Nobody. So I signed up for a month. But here's the thing: when you have it for a month, it's not like there's a bunch to watch on there. But The Good Fight, oh my God, is so good. Did you ever watch The Good Wife? Do you remember with Juliana Margulies,
yes.
who reminds me of you because of the hair?
I know, I get that a lot. And I have the same name.
Dan Juliana, right. But this is the sequel to that. And it was only on the CBS paid all access thing, which is now Paramount Plus. And it's really good. It's very, you know, it was during the Trump years and it's very anti-Trump and very, it's good. So
all right, I'll
I have
out.
It for
Send
a month.
A
I paid for it for a month so we could watch the stupid, you know, South Park thing. And I got sucked into this. So I'm almost through all the seasons and then I can cancel it.
Yeah. And then I'll forget and that'll be another $12.99.
I know. They get you coming and going,
crazy.
You know?
I know. They do. They really do.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you so
it.
Much for being
fun.
Here. Juliana Forlano, everybody. Yay!
Hi, everybody.
Whoops.
Thank you so much.
Here. There we go. I knew I had applause here somewhere. Yeah.
Hi,
all right. Bye, honey.
Happy
See you
New
soon.
Year.
Happy New Year. Year. Damn right. Let's have 2022 be better than, you know, the shit we just went through. All right. We're done. It's so overtime. So I guess I can leave you with the news. Because I did do a what's news today because I'm a glutton for punishment. That's right. Let's all say it together. All right. I'll leave you with the news. I'll see you tomorrow. Laffy will be here. Yay. All right. Thanks for being here. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
We made it through Hanukkah, Festivus, Christmas, and now it's Kwanzaa. It's a 7-day cultural festival celebrating family, community, and culture. Happy Kwanzaa, everyone. Now, the story dominating the news this holiday season is the same as it was last year, COVID. Appearing on ABC's This Week on Sunday, Dr. Fauci said that COVID-19 cases already at record levels in some areas will probably continue to climb as the, quote, extraordinarily contagious Omicron variant spreads rapidly across the country. He said every day it goes up and up. The last weekly average was about 150,000, and it likely will go much higher. The president's chief medical advisor, Dr. Fauci, warned that although Omicron appears to cause less severe symptoms and fewer hospitalizations than other strains, Americans shouldn't be complacent because the sheer number of infections, he said, might override a real diminution in severity. He added that we're particularly worried about unvaccinated people who are the most vulnerable ones. The surge has spurred a rush for at-home COVID-19 tests, which are in rare supply right now. Meanwhile, holiday travel has been a mess. U.S. airlines continued to cancel flights on Sunday due to surging virus infections among crews, as well as severe weather in some places. Commercial airlines canceled over 1,000 flights on Sunday, both domestic and international departures and arrivals. That was the third straight day of a wave of cancellations that disrupted travel for thousands of travelers. There were 997 flights called off on Christmas Day, almost 700 on Christmas Eve, and thousands of other departures were delayed over the holiday weekend. But it is a global problem. France on Sunday reported that it confirmed more than 100,000 new coronavirus infections in a single day for the first time. The high mark was the latest sign that the highly transmissible Omicron variant is fueling an explosive surge across Europe, where many countries have imposed new lockdowns and other restrictions in hopes of curbing new infections. More than one in 100 people in Paris and surrounding areas have tested positive in the last week alone. While most of the new cases were Omicron, there's still a surge of infections with the Delta variant, which is keeping hospital admissions very high. President Emmanuel Macron's government has scheduled a Monday meeting to discuss new measures to address the crisis. But here at home, some of us are living in opposite world. Seriously, at least five Republican-led states are now giving unemployment benefits to people who've lost jobs over vaccine mandates, and it's expected more will join that group. Workers who quit or were fired for cause, including for defying company policy, are generally ineligible for jobless benefits. But Arkansas, Florida, Iowa, Kansas, and Tennessee have carved out exceptions for those who won't submit to the vaccine regimens that many companies now require. Similar ideas have been floated already in Wyoming, Wisconsin, and Missouri. Just incredible. In other news, Russian President Vladimir Putin said on Sunday that he will be forced to consider numerous options, including a military response, if NATO doesn't guarantee it will bar Ukraine from membership in the alliance. Putin also called for reducing Western military deployments in Eastern Europe. His demands were contained in a pair of draft treaties that Russia submitted to NATO earlier this month. Putin, whose remarks aired on Russian state TV on Sunday, expressed concerns that missiles could be deployed in Ukraine if the former Soviet member joins NATO. He said, "We have nowhere to retreat. They have pushed us to a line that we can't cross." Huh? NATO is unlikely to agree to Putin's terms. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki told reporters, quote, "NATO member countries decide who is a member of NATO, not Russia." All righty then. Verdict Watch continues in two of the three cases we've been watching. On Friday afternoon, just in time for them to be home for Christmas, the jurors in the Kim Potter manslaughter case returned two guilty verdicts on first and second degree manslaughter charges for killing Dante Wright, alleging that she mistook her service weapon for a taser. The former Brooklyn Center, Minnesota police officer was immediately taken into custody to await sentencing. The juries in the two other big trials on Verdict Watch resumed deliberations Monday morning. Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's alleged enabler, and Elizabeth Holmes, who faces 11 criminal counts for duping investors and the public over blood testing technology. And despite all the doom and gloom forecasts for this Christmas season, people got all their orders on time, believe it or not, and U.S. retail sales rose 8.5% during this holiday season. It's the highest annual gain in 17 years. As a report by MasterCard showed, the rise is fueled by both online and brick-and-mortar shopping. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler.
If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.